the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, had a little technical difficulties right there. I'm back. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, doing what I do because I do it for you all day, every day. And we're going to wait on my man JT, ATM Money, so we can get this thing rolling. But in the meantime, in between time, let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. We're going to talk NFL action. There's some stuff going on in both areas that we find interesting. For one, let's discuss the Jacksonville Jaguars. They cannot get a break. They can't. Buffalo can't get a break. Shaq's getting surgery out for 6 months. Sammy Watkins, foot broke. Surgery, going to be out for a couple months, and a whole lot more. I really don't understand why these people are getting hurt. Baltimore getting fined or investigated for having practice with pads prior to being allowed to do so. They say snitches get stitches, but apparently Baltimore, John Harbaugh is trying to make them tough. He's going to try. We shall see. With that being said, let's wait for JT for a few minutes. Hopefully he jumps on air. If he doesn't, we'll roll. But I'll play a little music here for you guys as we get ready. And let's see what song I'll play. You know what? I haven't heard this one in a long time. Let's do this. Here we go.
Yeah.
Jabo Shaw is long and intercepted by Demetrius McCray. The first interception thrown this year by Jabo Shaw.
Looking for a long pass play down the far right side. McCray bats it away and picks it off.
Demetrius McCray comes down with his second interception.
Fighting to my last breath. Bleeding to my muscle. Touch the effing attitude. Not that we want to touch.
Makes Jackson to a wide open quick. Touchdown, Appalachian State.
I do not know how you lose someone like Brian Quick ever.
I feel you in my sights and I'm talking, boy. Left down the blood, tell the rest to start talking, boy. It's game time, it's game time, it's game time. Gonna say it on, watch the star up and don't sign. It's game time, it's game time, it's game time. I'm no fight, no fight, but it ain't what ain't going mine.
Quick force and goal from the three.
Microphone.
Jeff Bryant in motion. He stumbles. Fade to the left. Coming back right. Scores. Hits Shy at the goal line.
You talk about a great defensive play. Brandon Greer. That is how you play option defense.
Our final score from the Rock. 24-17. Mountaineers take Georgia Southern.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're back, and it is game time. It's me, Mr. FSP, doing what I do because I do it for you all day, every day, waiting on my co-host, JT18 Money. Get ahead and show, it's okay. I know how to rock the boat without losing my stroke, okay? So, what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into this. Our favorite sport to discuss is football, but before we get to football, I wanted to make an announcement. Soon, we're going to have Deborah King, daughter of Don King, appearing on the show to discuss her latest venture. And it's something dealing with addiction. She wants to help others fight it and face their issues, mental and physical health issues. For now, that's where we're going to leave it at. When we have more information to share, trust me, we will share it and have her on the show. I want to thank our esteemed booker, we call him the bookie, Mike Wright, for pushing this opportunity our way. It's a great opportunity for us, so we shall see what happens. Let's get into football. Football is what I know, what I love. It's my passion. Sports, I know and love, but football is something that touches me like no other because it's what I grew up loving. It's what I grew up enjoying. I'll tell you, there's some news going on that I wanted to run by Jerry just to see what his thoughts were, and one of which is the fact that Buffalo, for all of the hoopla around their draft picks, well deserved, they're getting surgeries, they're injured. I mean, I don't know what to tell you as far as how it is these players of today are now just fragile. That's the bottom line. They are fragile. Now, Shaq is one of those players that folks had a question mark about. That's why he slipped to Buffalo. And it turns out that I believe it's his left shoulder, his pass rush dipping shoulder, as if you want to put it in those terms, actually is a big concern because Buffalo now has to lose him for 6 months. That puts him back available in November, December time frame. So let's get this straight. Your number one pick, who was supposed to start, because the GM, I believe his last name is Whaley, went on NFL Network and said that Shaq, Lawson, and maybe one or two other persons were going to be ready-made starters. So, you know, when they're ready-made starters, it's okay. But when they don't show up, or if they can't show up, then, you know, what happens? You automatically begin to question if Rex can survive another season. In my opinion, that's what you do. You start questioning it, and you start thinking, well, the GM made it last year. Rex made it last year. They've got a bunch of talent. But is the talent going to ever pan out during his time? Tyrod Taylor. Now remember, excellent quarterback for Ohio State, was tapped to be the starting quarterback in Baltimore, had some type of virus, lost out to Joe Flacco, has a Super Bowl ring. He does. Didn't play, but was slated to start. Bounces around a bit, lands in Buffalo, gets a starting job. But what do they do this year? They draft a kid out of Ohio State. I want to say Carnell Lake, but I know it's not Carnell Lake. I can't remember his name right now. But they draft him, and he's, what, 6'7", 6'8". He's not refined, but given the right coaching, he'll have the stature of a prototype quarterback. He's built like a actual lineman. I think he's bigger than Cam. And Cam is like 240, 250, something like that, and can run like a gazelle. So you have that in the wings waiting once Tyrod is done. So I'd say maybe 2-3 years if he finishes out this year. You're not set at running back. But Rex, somehow, someway, always finds a way to become a difference maker in the NFL. But injury after injury after injury, it's just not happening for him. But it's okay. I think Rex will figure it out. Let's go down to Jacksonville. Now, minor injuries, but injuries nonetheless. To their first pick of the draft this year, he'll be ready for the season. But let's look at it this way. Jacksonville is one of those teams that we plan, or we have said, will be one of the surprise upstarts this year. I mean, they are young, they are talented, and I believe they're well coached. And this is a season where the Texans are going to have to find chemistry under a new quarterback, Brock Osweiler. A very young receiving core. This is just my opinion. I don't think Lamar Miller is the answer. I really don't. I mean, yes, they'll give him the ball. They will give him the ball. But at the same time, I don't think there'll be many holes for him. He's not a slash runner. He's a north-south, put my shoulders down, and try to run you over. I'll sidestep you, but zone gap running is not his thing. It's just not. I know that's not the style that he used in Miami. But that's the style he has now in Houston. Now, Brock Osweiler says there's no, you know, anger or anything toward Denver, but you bolt Denver for Houston after coming off of a Super Bowl championship with a team. Yes, it lost a few people on defense. It did. Danny Trevathan is an excellent linebacker when it comes to stopping the run, but he can't cover anybody. I'm not gonna. If you look at the tape, all you got to do is look at the tape. If you isolate Danny Trevathan on a running back or a tight end in the passing game, he's toast every time, unless you have a big bruiser that can't run routes. So he goes to Chicago. Why does Brock leave Demaryius, Emmanuel? I forgot the other two receivers, Caldwell, and another one, another young kid. Why do you leave them? An offensive line that's decent and is going to get better for a team that is trying to be a perennial playoff team, not a perennial Super Bowl contender playoff team. Must be the money that turned him. Must be the money. I'll use the Deion Sanders move. That's what it is right there. So I can see there are no hard feelings because he's getting paid. Paid in the shade, drinking a little lemonade. Got it. Understood. And that's what he does. And if Jerry were on here, I would tell him, as usual, his team has a jinx. I call it the Jerry jinx. Whatever team Jerry decides to support, 9 times out of 10, they'll be good half a year. Half. Just my thoughts. But let's discuss these moves around the NFL. Josh Norman, all of a sudden, becomes a free agent after a franchise tag. And then ends up with Washington. Now, he said that other teams offered him more money. So why pick Washington? Tell me why. Josh says it was only because they got him in there and he felt comfortable. He was offered more guaranteed money, but when he went to Washington, he felt like Washington wanted him. Now listen, Daniel Snyder can make any and everybody feel wanted. He has a bunch of money. And the Skins are a attractive team with the history and stuff like that. They're young, with potential to go far. I don't think we're going to go that far, and I say we because I'm a Washington fan. But I don't think we have the ability to go too far with Kirk Cousins because unless Kirk develops more arm strength, I don't think he's going to be the answer, as well as a little better decision-making. I'm just going to keep it real. He needs to decide to throw the ball in various places that are smart via throwaway. He doesn't have the cannon of an arm to try to squeeze it into double coverage. That's not him. His decision-making is short to medium. Prime example, DeSean Jackson had 35, 36 catches all season. That shows you what type of usage they had for him. He was just a deep guy. And that's not all Deshaun can do. He ran a couple reverses and stuff like that and bubble screens. But Deshaun can go across the middle. That little frail, small guy can go across the middle. They just drafted the kid out of TCU. I think 6'5", 6'4". Kid looks huge. He's going to get a lesson when Josh Norman is out there on the practice field with him, and he's going to learn quick, fast, in a hurry. This is not the Big 12. This is the NFL. So Josh makes a decision to go to the Redskins and gets paid a boatload of money. Boatload. The Skins, under their new GM for a second year, draft very well on the defensive side of the ball, I must say. When they pick that outside linebacker that can play strong safety, I said, he's going to be the strong safety. He's going to be. Because he's just like Javon Kearse. Javon Kearse, if you don't know who that is, Google him. Coming out of college, out of Florida, he played strong safety. Then they moved him down to linebacker. Then they put him down at outside linebacker, which was a rush in college, because at that time Florida played a 4-3, or you thought. It was a 3-4 with a hybrid, because Javon Kearse was a speed rusher. And when Javon made it to the NFL, Javon ended up being a dominant defensive end. But the Skins did this. Got him. Got another good set of linebackers. Drafted a decent cornerback. Actually, one of the Fuller brothers. It's three of them in the NFL now. Three of them. Chicago, Skins, and I forgot where the other one is. I think the other one's in Detroit. No. Yeah, the other one's a wide receiver. The other one's a wide receiver in Detroit, because I recall his brother checking him, you know, Chicago against Detroit. And that's another surprise I wanted to talk about. Why did Detroit not try to find a replacement for Megatron in this draft? Do you actually believe Golden Tate is the answer? Golden Tate benefited because Megatron drew double coverage. Brandon Broyles, OU product. Love him. Not a threat. Not a threat in the NFL. I don't think Detroit has a receiver over 6'1", 6'2", other than their tight ends. So that was a surprise to me as well. And a few other things, but I want to bring in my co-host, who said, surprise, surprise, surprise. He's my Barney Fife, as I am Andy Griffin. So I gave him one.
Really? 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 Really?
Hey, listen, Don Knotts, you became very successful because of me. So I'll let you know. I still love you, though.
Really?
How you doing? How
oh,
are
boy.
You,
Jerry? Now, that's more like what you really are. How you doing?
No, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, because you know what I thought? You know what
What's
I thought?
That?
I thought you was going to, you know, not be a man because you got your butt whooped so badly in fantasy baseball. And you decided, I don't want to deal with Vic today. No, I can't do it. I got to stand in the chair and listen to him gloat. So, you know.
No. It's only a game, my brother. You don't want to take it to heart. Like I said last week, it was a perfect storm, and it was an anomaly, and I take it as that, as being an anomaly. And
are you kidding? Okay.
I just move on. That's all. Because it looks like you're going reverting back to your losing ways, because you're getting your butt whooped again.
No, I'm not getting my butt whooped.
Well, it looks like it, but you know, you never know. It you have to make a little small comeback in order to win the week. Amazingly enough, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but amazingly enough, I had a pitcher yesterday, even though he gave up 10 hits. Thought I had him in the lineup, but he was on the bench. He won Garrett Cole. Earlier in the week, I set several players. I think it was Thursday. Had to be. I think it was Thursday that I wanted to put into the lineup. And I think I gave up because I had players over the week that hit home runs and had pretty good days. About four home runs that were sitting on the bench over this past week. So it is what, amazingly enough, the reason I'm saying that is because even though that happened, I'm tied with my opponent right now. After he was, now I wouldn't say unceremoniously kicking my butt, but he was getting the best of me for most of the week. And right now I'm tied with him. So it's a matter of putting the right people in the right position and being able to come out on top and break this two-week losing streak, I should say. So, it is what it is. It is what it is. You did beat my butt. You kicked my butt, but it was a fluke. It was definitely a fluke.
Really?
You know why it was a fluke? I'll tell you why it was a fluke, Victor. I have never gotten beaten like that over the last few weeks. And everything that I told you when we talked last week, everything that was going right for you was going right. And everything that was going wrong for me. It's exactly what I said. It was a perfect storm. And you were getting the best of it. So it is what it is. It happened. I moved on. This is another week. I'm past that week. But if you want to gloat, go right ahead. I'll sit here and listen to whatever you have to say at my expense. No problem. No problem. Because I'm a man. I'm a man. Like your Oklahoma State coach says, I'm a man. I'll take it. So go ahead. If you want
to. No. I don't need to gloat. I mean, history shows 15-4. With one tie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to hate on you. I'm not going to do that. But I did want to bring up a few things before we get to Major League Baseball and fantasy baseball. I was talking about surprises in the NFL and topics. The first thing I touched on were the Buffalo Bills and these fluke injuries that may cause Rex Ryan his job as well as a GM because Sammy Watkins out three months with a broken foot. Shaq Lawson, done till November at the very latest to be eligible to come back. And then I went around the NFL. I even talked about how I keep wanting to say Carnell Lake, but it's not Carnell Lake. The quarterback from Ohio State that got drafted by Buffalo, the 6'6 kid that is built like a linebacker and he's developed.
Cardale Jones.
Yeah, Cardale Jones. Thank you. Saying in a couple years how if he's developed correctly, he'll take Tyrod Taylor's position. I talked about some of the bad luck that Jacksonville's having with their rookies, all having injuries and all that other mess. And then,
right.
I was talking about how I didn't think that your team would be very successful this year only because Lamar Miller does not fit the slash and dash type of running scheme that the Texans use, whereas he's more of a straight-on runner that can somewhat outrun you if he hits the edge, but he's not a slash and find the hole type dude. You point
beg
him
a different, but go ahead.
I mean,
I beg a different, but that's okay.
I mean, it's your team. I understand how you point him in a direction. He'll go in that direction. And they will use him, but I don't think he'll be that effective. Talked about Josh Norman selecting the Redskins after becoming a free agent shortly after having the franchise tag removed from him. How he, just the signing of him, would impact the Washington Redskins and his expectations. I was making my way around the NFL. I was getting to Baltimore. How they were, how Baltimore was getting investigated for having pads on. Prior to being able to have pads. And
yeah, they try to get away with something.
Yeah, I mean, and I was saying Harbaugh is just trying to toughen these guys up a little bit because today's athletes are not that tough. But there's a rule. You can't break that rule and then expect your players not to break rules as well, you know, whatever team rules you have. If you're going to break the league rule but then hold the player accountable when they break a team rule or league rule, you're using a double-edged sword. You know,
well,
you're talking with a forked tongue.
You know that's nothing new, man. The NFL has a double standard. Come on.
No. I'm not saying I didn't know. What I'm saying is it's tough to get a new team or a bunch of new guys in Baltimore and develop that toughness and that team chemistry that you need in order to get back to the Super Bowl and win.
Yeah, but you got to play by the same rules, man. You got to play by the same rules. Everybody, the 32 teams, everybody's got to play by the same rules. You can't think that you're going to do something and won't get called on it. And apparently, it looks like, and they claim in ignorance, and what do we say about ignorance? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. They say that we didn't realize that we were breaking a rule or whatever. So, come on, man. They've been around too long and too experienced for these guys not to know what they should and shouldn't be doing and should be well-versed in the CBA. Come on. Give me a break.
Agreed. I mean, things happen. But
they thought they could get away with it. They thought it would just slip by and nobody would say anything. Come on. A good union rep or whoever told a union rep about it, and they got called on it. So should know better. There's no excuse for that. No excuse for that.
I can agree with that. But then let's move over to Pittsburgh. Now there's two things going on in Pittsburgh, and one is very controversial, and the other is innovative. So I'm going to bring them both up. The controversy, James Harrison feels as though he doesn't need to be urinalysis done with the league's appointed official. He just says, I can film it and give you the sample, and you should be happy with it. James, we all know he's a little touched, but he has one of the most – insane workouts for a guy his age and his position and stature. So physically, this guy is a genetic freak. However, I think his thought process might be up there with Kanye West a little bit.
A little bit.
But, I mean, I get what he's doing. I understand what he's doing and what he's saying. But I think he's going about it the wrong way. He needs to let the league do their job. And Ontario Smith is a prime reason as to why you can't let people just do what they want to do. A Wizenator back in the day. You know, I don't want to see James Harrison's paraphernalia or anything like that. But if I'm the NFL and he says, here's the video of me, you know, taking a pee, you need to accept it. I'm like, nah, dude. What happened to the guy that we sent over there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I stuffed him in the closet until I was ready for him to come out.
I think that's what happened. And then, not only that, the sad thing is, if you as the tested person do not comply with everything the tester says, you can become with a positive result, meaning you'll pop hot even though you didn't do anything because you didn't follow the complete guidelines of the tester. It's weird. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on another note, you have technology, and I think it's a great thing that's going on. Because it can prevent injury, But also you got to remember there's somebody controlling these little robots on the field, the robots that are in practice to cover, and they've been designed, I believe, by Stanford students to mimic football maneuvers. So when a DB or wide receiver or whoever is practicing, they can practice versus a robot, a robot dummy bag. And, you know, a person controlling it, all they have to do is go left, right, up, down, back, circle, whatever the case may be, and get in the way. Now, there's potential for injury in this situation, whereas let's say somebody cuts the robot one way and then slams them right into a running back or a wide receiver. You know, they're not designed just yet to do line techniques, but individual drills. But I applaud Pittsburgh for being the first organization to implement this stuff, mainly because it's different. It's different, and I see how effective it can be versus, you know, getting somebody in camp just for their legs. You know, they have arm quarterbacks for mini camps and for the preseason. They're only in camp because they want to preserve the starting quarterback's arm. You know, can't mm-hmm. do that with the robots. That means somebody's not going to make a team. Somebody's not going to get drafted. Somebody's not going to be accepted as a free agent and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this works. Let me get your thoughts on what before we move forward.
Well, I agree with that. And speaking of, since you're talking about innovative technology in the NFL or in sports, and I'm going to be talking about specifically NFL. I don't know if you saw this come up, but the NFL is going to consider a proposal by the coaches to allow the use of full features on tablets, meaning they'll be able to review plays versus still photos. They'll be able to do it via video on their tablets. I didn't know they couldn't do that now, but apparently, you know, you see these NFL teams now using tablets to look at plays, but they're only still photos. They're not actually videos that they can watch the whole play from start to finish and see what was going on in the play and in formation. Now they can the league in I think next week they're going to have some meetings next week, and part of one of the things that they want to pass or table, I guess should say, or talk about with the possibility of passing and allowing it on the NFL sidelines during a game is video on their tablets. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good idea. The problem that I see is every time a coach sees a play that mm-hmm. is, in his view, questionable or her view, questionable, because we do have an assistant coach down in Arizona that's a female, they're going to try to stick that in their side referee's face. Now, the referee's going to be trained not to look at it, not to do all this other stuff, but I think it's a good idea. However, how do you limit that audio and that video to just the closed-circuit TV type situation? Meaning, you're going to get a direct feed from the end zone or the overhead cam, and mm-hmm. you're going to be able to watch the game or see different things. Now you need a quality control person up in the booth to watch all of these videos. I know a lot of teams have them already, you know, to help the coach make a decision on whether to throw the flag or not. But you have your quarterback on the bench with one tablet showing the same thing. But then you need another fee for the defense and another fee for the special teams and another fee for this, that. It can be somewhat cumbersome, but I think it's a good idea. I like to see how they implement it. You know what I mean? Let's put it this way. Back in the day when I was younger and you were like in your mid-30s, I think, they had if there was technical difficulties on one side of the field, both sides had to eliminate their comms to their booths, right?
That's still effective to this date.
Correct.
Supposedly,
but, you know,
it's supposed to be effective to this date. So anybody has any communication problems, everybody has communication problems. Let me put it that way. Everything goes dead until the communication problems get solved.
And this is the part that I'm getting to, communication with the tablets. Let's say their sidelines tablets just malfunction. I mean, for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason. Now
mm-hmm.
you lose that source.
Yep.
Now you and the other team have got to lose that source, and it goes
yep.
back to the way it used to be. So,
okay.
And it's not uncommon to have a tablet not be charged properly or just malfunction even though it's fully charged. It's possible.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
So,
well, I think that's different, Victor. If it's an actual tablet that goes down versus the feed. So say you got the, and I'm just speculating, you got five tablets on the sidelines. If all five fat tablets are having the same issue, then that's a communication problem. That's a common issue. It's not isolated to one tablet. Then I would think that because all five tablets on one sideline is having an issue, no one can use it on the opposite sideline until the actual it gets fixed. If it doesn't get fixed, then everybody is in the same boat. They can't use their tablets in the same way. But if it's one tablet, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If it's one tablet, then that's a different story because it could be that specific tablet for whatever reason is having problems. Not to say that someone else can't pick up a tablet and if it's for whoever can use it for use it as a substitute on the same sidelines. You follow what I'm saying? One tablet having an issue, then no, I don't think they would shut down everybody. If it's a common sideline issue, everybody on that sideline has a tablet, and you have that issue on every tablet, then that's a common problem necessitate then going over to the other sideline and saying you can't use your tablets. Your tablets are disabled until we find a problem. If we don't find a problem, and fix it, then all tablets are out.
I got to disagree because I know the offensive line, they have cameras specifically dedicated to offensive line and defensive line play.
Okay,
so
okay.
If the offensive line tablet goes down, I think that the other team's offensive line cam or tablet should go down. And,
well, let me ask
you
something.
Tit for tat. I really think tit for tat.
Well, let me ask you something. You have a computer, right?
Yes.
And I'll put that in basic terms. You have a computer, right? Okay. If your computer, do you ever back up the things on your computer?
Yeah. I mean, I get where you're going.
Okay. So say a offensive line. This is just speculative here. They and just hypothetical, I should say. They have an offensive tablet. They have a tablet for the offensive line coach or offensive line coach. Okay, he's using it to school his offensive lineman, and for whatever reason it goes down. You don't think they have backups just in case a tablet or tablets. Go down, and then they can just substitute out a tablet. Now, I would think this. In tablets, I would think that they would be universal. You could use them for the offensive, any portion of the team, whether it's on the defensive side, on the offensive side, or special teams. So I would think they would have a special part of that tablet, whatever tablet it is, that it goes to one of those teams, offense, defensive, or special teams. So Faye's offensive, and the guy, offensive lineman, the offensive line coach is using the tablet, and it, for whatever reason, it goes down. Now, I was assumed that each team would have backup tablets just in case one of them malfunctions because it's an electronic device, just like a PC, just like a phone, just like a tablet. Anything can malfunction, especially in inclement weather, and you got to have a backup to accommodate, not accommodate, but make sure that it's continuity in what you want to do. So you take that, you go to that spare tablet, say they got half a dozen spare tablets. They got half a dozen on the sidelines that they use and half a dozen spare tablets just in case one of them goes down. Pluck that tablet out of there, go into whatever specific section it is for whatever skill set that you're dealing with, and then you just keep on pushing on. I would think equipment manager, whoever, or the person in charge of the electronic part of the team would be dealing with something like that and have sufficient backup equipment to offset now, any kind of problems that they have on the sidelines. I would think that would happen.
I think you're right. However, we can always do gamesmanship and just all of a sudden all of the tablets are not powered because somebody forgot to do it on purpose, whatever the case may be. My point is that I like the innovation of having the audio and video on the tablets when you're on the sideline. But playing devil's advocate, I can see how me as a coach make a call to all of a sudden, now everything doesn't want to work. And we take it back to the Stone Age, so to speak, where everything has to be done via, you know, on-field activity, which is cool. I mean, I get it. I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm just saying, playing devil's advocate, I can see how things could change or would be. I want to switch gears a little bit, and I didn't know if you probably do not know this, but I'll let you know now, and I mentioned it at the top of the show. Mike Wright, our bookie, a.k.a. the Bookie Monster, has partnered us with Deborah King. Deborah King is Don King's daughter. And we will be having her on the show maybe in a week or two. I have to schedule it with her publicist. They reached out and wanted to come on the show. So, therefore, we will be working with Deborah King on air to discuss her new project that she's talking about. I believe it's Limit Lifeless or Limit Life. I can't remember the name of the website right now. I apologize. But the premise of the program is to combat addiction and other things that go on in other people's lives that have them, you know, down, beaten, and stuff like that. And I think it's a very worthwhile project and a worthwhile opportunity. So I will be speaking more to her publicist in reference to bringing her on the show. Also, we're going to have a new sponsor. It's called Body by Vi. I don't know if you've heard of it, Jerry. But
well, you've been talking on you've been chatting or whatever on Facebook. I don't know what it is. It looks like it's a something like something like Sean T pushes out.
Very similar, except it's supplements. It's a lifestyle change, pretty much. People.
Well, same
healthy.
Thing, Sean T.
Yeah, yes, but not Sean T. But it does.
I understand
involve,
it.
You're just making the comparison. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it'll be something that I'm going to speak more about as we get commercials made for it. It is an opportunity to generate revenue as well as get healthy. I'm looking more toward finding customers that are interested in getting healthy. And if you want to get paid doing it, cool. If not, not a problem. But I want to help people get healthy because I'm taking a challenge, and I'm challenging you, JT. But I'm taking a challenge to lose 10 pounds. 10 pounds and then eventually another 10, so on and so forth. So they're, it's set up for challenges. And,
since everybody likes
to go on Facebook, I mean, because everybody likes to go on Facebook and do all these little challenges, right? So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, if you humble yourself a little bit more, and stop patting your back self on the back a little bit more, you'll be able to lose a lot of weight off that brain that you have that's so swelled up in your head. And that's about 10 pounds worth of bravado that you lay out every week. So it shouldn't take you long to get rid of that first 10 pounds if you just look you just have to look in the mirror and see how big your head is. And then
can I ask you a question?
You know, what's that, man?
I'm asking you a question. What's your fantasy football team's name? What is
anything
that?
Mr. NFSP.
Football. Football, not baseball. Football.
Let me see. What is it? Moneymaker.
No. Never what?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do, you little liar. Never humble. Go ahead, finish the rest of it.
What?
What's the name?
What? Who are you?
The name.
Where am I at?
Oh, so
I must be getting Alzheimer's. I can't remember. Who are you?
So, you talking about me. Okay, I didn't name my team Never Humble, Always Talking. I didn't name that was you.
But that's just you. A name. That's not my personality. That's why.
Yeah. Okay. You made up the name. You stuck with the name, and that is your moniker. That is your name. That is you.
That is me. That is me. And I do need to lose weight. Myself, too.
Well, I'm going to help you out, dude. I'm going to hook you up with some stuff. I have some free samples. I can always send them to you. But that's my goal, man, to partner up with this group and to partner our organization with this group. Hopefully, when we talk with Deborah, we can talk offline about opportunities as well. But, I'm 40. Just turned 40, and somebody told me something that I really didn't like, but I laughed because it's somewhat true. One of my soldiers, well, I'm going to tell you what they did. So, my birthday was Wednesday, and I did the morning show because one of my DJs had to go to do some work or whatever. So I was on the morning show, and they brought in, the birthday gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So they know I don't smoke. They know I don't drink. And I am trying to wean myself off of sugary things such as honey buns, and I love honey buns. So these clowns bring me a cigar and some ale, I think it's not ginger beer or ginger, it's like hard coolers thing, and I don't drink. So I'm like, dude, are you serious? Why are you giving me this? I'm not going to touch any of this. And he's like, well, it's your birthday. You're 40 now. And I said, yeah, I know I'm 40. That doesn't mean I'm going to drink and smoke. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, he gives me a bag. And he says, you're going to love me and hate me. I said, what are you talking about, guy? So I opened up the bag. He bought me like 10 of these honey buns that are just, he knows I love these honey buns, right? And I said, you are evil. You are the devil. And he said, I know, I'm not the devil, but I knew you would like it and hate me at the same time. So I'm like, dude, I'm trying not to eat this stuff. So, but what he said that got me was, yeah, you're at 40. It's all downhill from now. Like, what in the hell? It comes, you know, I'm not even at midlife. I say my midlife is about 50. But it got me, and I was like, wow, this dude. But he's somewhat right. You know, at 40 years old, I'm looking at changing my eating habits for the better, even though it shouldn't take me that long to do so. Like this month, after I come back from China. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. When as Jer and I come back from China, it'll be June, right? 6 months into the year. And I'm going to start my health kick or my lifestyle change at that point because, you know, we do PT, got it. But what I'm going to start doing is after work, I'm just going to go to the gym and hit the tread a little bit and showcase what the products that we have are doing for me and let the products speak for themselves because I didn't want to just join any group, but I was talking to some people, a former GNC manager and a couple other folks, and they were telling me about these products. I had never heard about them before, but they're like, yeah, these were great. They did this, that, and the third, but we just can't get them here. And then just so happens I was talking to another person and said, yeah, this is this, this is that. And I can hook you up with this person. So I did my research, found out some things, and there's some good and some bad, of course. But long story short, I'm taking a challenge, and I'm going to challenge a lot of people to do the same. They don't have to distribute it with me, but if they get on board and, you know, start eating the healthier foods and take these little fit challenges, we'll see results that people really can do and should do. And, you know, the products are pretty good. From what I can tell and from what these people are telling me that their experiences were, I have folks already ready to buy products from me. So I'm like, okay, cool. It sells itself. But anyway, long story short, we have Deborah Keene coming on, and we're going to talk to her about her advocacy program for changing folks' addictions to things and afflictions. And we'll see how that works. Hopefully we can partner up with other ventures with her and make things happen. But let's move on to Major League Baseball. And I think seeing the Khaleesi walk out of that fire.
Ha ha, man. I got off the couch for that one.
I bet you did.
Oh, but man, yeah, thing, man.
Walk was like, wow. But you know what, even in a sports-related activity was a wild moment like that? Was when Odor clocked Jose Bautista. Now, here's what I don't get, Jerry. Bautista was defending himself, and he still gets a one-game suspension. But Odor just, he said, you know what, it's going to be worth it. He just whacks Bautista as he comes down the first baseline. And I don't think Bautista has served his one-game suspension yet. But
no.
This is weird. What's going on in baseball? You know, Max Scherzer, 20 strikeouts, helped me beat you last week. Matter of fact, that was the main reason I beat you last week. No, not the main reason, because I beat you 15-4. But in that category, in the strikeout category, I think I had 62, you had 59. So I beat you by three strikeouts, and that 20 helped.
You don't have to tell me, man. You had that's what the type of week you had last week. You had anomaly type of week. So I took it up with a grain of salt, just like I take the person I'm dealing with a grain of salt and just go from there. That's
all. For real? For real, dude? That's how you're going to do me? First, you don't call Lynn. Then Then you're going
to
say, okay.
Wait a minute. You, I didn't even get an invite. So I,
yes,
I didn't
did.
Know you.
Yes, you did.
Check no, I didn't.
Junk mail. I sent you two of them.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Mr. FSP. I was listening. I was listening to my show between 12:30 and 1 o'clock, and I did not see a show built on the site. So I'm thinking, oh, no show. No show.
No. So, I built it at like 45, 50 because I was having some computer problems. We went.
Okay.
Did you see the video my wife put up about me on a Segway?
No.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I went on a Segway and I did a 360. I did a flip on the Segway, almost broke my neck again. But other than that, it was a good day.
Oh, boy.
I'm supposed to be going zip lining today in a couple of hours, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But
oh,
anyway,
boy.
Yeah, so
oh,
the
boy.
Show was, I admit, the show was built late. But your invite did go out. Matter of fact, it went out again when you wanted it. But let's talk about baseball. Let's just talk about baseball. You know, Bryce Harper was walked, 25 straight times? And then he faces Noah Syndergaard, and he goes after him. And he doesn't hit well. Then you have the Cubs doing what they're doing. You know, one of the best teams in baseball right now. I don't think... too many people didn't think it was going to happen. You got the Preakness going on. You know, I know you're
mm-hmm.
in the horse racing, and
mm-hmm.
it's happening fairly shortly, I believe.
It'll happen about 3 or 4 hours from now. About four hours from now.
Come a couple of Preakness. Yeah. Well, I said shortly,
right.
You know.
Well, 4 hours. 4 hours. 4 hours isn't shortly. Shortly means an hour to me, so 4 hours is not shortly. It'll happen in about 4 hours, about four and a half
hours.
Hours, somewhere around there.
Four
and a half hours. Usually it's around six. It's usually around 6 o'clock. Trust me when I'm telling you that.
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. It'll be 6 a.m. here, so that's 3 hours for me. But let's talk about baseball, man. What's going on? I mean, you know, the batters aren't batting right. The pitchers aren't pitching right. It's actually a even kill season if you want to look at it. There's no real dominant player. Jake Arrieta, one loss in 24 starts. That's about as close as dominant as you can get. But other than that, you know, I have not seen one player be dominant. And then Jose Bautista gets smacked in the mouth. Jose Reyes is coming back in June and stuff like that. Does he even have a spot? Because that kid's story has been lighting it up, and he's been playing good defense. Does Jose Reyes even have a landing spot once he comes back
nope.
off suspension?
He hit the landing spot, but he hit the landing spot, but it's on the bench.
Okay, well, let's get some analysis.
What kind of analysis you want? I mean, he
on baseball. On baseball, Jerry.
On baseball, Oh, okay. Well, I know I saw a statistic that the strikeouts were up quite naturally. You probably know that, but the strikeouts are up. So the pitchers are either pitching better and first pitch strikes are key. I think that's what the statistic is. First pitch strikes are up this year, which quite naturally once you get in front of the hitter, then you give the hitter on versus being an offensive player because now he wants to strike down and he's one strike closer to getting struck out. So and then after that, the pitcher can nibble a little bit because he's got a one strike count on him going into the next pitch. As you see, I don't know, a lot of these. So-called outstanding players, top 10 players. Paul Smith at one point was a top 3 player, is batting just a little over 200. Bryce Harper, he's tailed off even with the walks. He's tailed off. He's batting somewhere around 100 this past week. Giancarlo Stanton is in a huge slump, striking out left and right.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about that. I know he's a high strike. I know he's a high strikeout guy, and most power hitters are high strikeout guys. So you get the good with the bad. But he's in a huge slump. I'm trying to think of who else that's in a Mike Trout up until recently was in a huge slump that he wasn't hitting well. There's a lot of top 10 players that were top 10, you know, rated top 10, that have gotten off to huge slow starts. Now, I don't know if that is indicative of how crazy the weather is and how much cooler it's been versus this time of the year where it's usually warmed up by now, or the weather has been more consistent, consistently warm versus consistently cool. But I imagine sooner or later, the majority of these big name players that have been struggling early up until this point will start to break out as the weather breaks.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yep.
You know, first or 2 months into the season, mm-hmm. you know, you got Prince Fielder and the Texas Rangers doing well, but Prince isn't the 300 hitter that he's, you know, known for being. You have a lot of quote-unquote no names standing up to the test and proving that they can be in the big leagues, but can they be consistent? You know, you've got a ton of opportunities going on in the area of baseball that, how do you gauge it? Is this all, as you would say, an anomaly? Or is this truly the way baseball is going to go this year? You know, can the Cubs remain the top team? You know?
Yeah, one of them, yes. Yeah, I do believe that. I think the Cubs are for real. They have a good mix of good young, extremely young players with a veteran coach that knows how to handle people and knows how to handle young talent. He's done it before when he was in Tampa Bay, and now he's moved his talents to Chicago, and he's doing the same with the young talent he has in everyday players and with experienced pitchers that are consistent, as in John Lester, as in Jason Hamill. Thank you, Vic. Well, you can thank me for him, Vic, also Jake Arrieta. So, just to name the three of them. So with that being, you got good young talent that can field and hit and catch the ball, with a some experienced pitching, with a very good coach and knows how to people and has very good people skills. That's a recipe for a lot of success for a long time. It's going to be kind of difficult when these guys get a little bit more years under them. I think the oldest guy on that team, everyday player, I think is Anthony Rizzo, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's around 30 or something like that. All the other guys are younger than him. He's the supposedly old man. I mean, I'm discounting the pitchers because the pitchers are older, but I'm just talking about everyday players. So there's a lot of young talent on that team, and they can be on that team for a while until they become a free agent eligible. So I expect, barring any kind of major injuries to several players, that they're going to be successful for a great amount of time. But there's a lot of inconsistencies around baseball. If you look, there's pitchers are few good pitchers are few and far between. There's going to be some pitchers coming up probably after mid-June that are probably going to make a name for themselves. And the only reason they haven't come up yet is because of eligibility rules down the line, that they want to be able to hold on to these players. I think it's Proposition 12 or whatever they call it in baseball, that if they bring them up too soon, that they lose a year of holding on to the player. So they wait until a certain date. I think it's in June, somewhere in mid-June, that they bring the player up and they still be able to retain him. So there's going to be some young pitchers coming up, because there is a plethora of pitchers that shouldn't be pitching in a major league level. And you go around the league, you can get at least a half a dozen pitchers at least that get pounded every day because the talent, their pitching talent, just isn't there on a consistent basis.
Yeah, Hahn is a guy that's one of those people for the Athletics. The Athletics are great with their farm system.
Yes, they are.
They always have a talent waiting there, but they don't have the money to keep them, whether it's pitching or if it's batting. They just don't have the money and the resources. That's just like why the Raiders are looking to move to Las Vegas. You know, the city doesn't have the money to help support Davis and the Raiders stay there. It is what it is. I think Hahn is one of those guys. I believe there's a shortstop. I can't remember his name right now. Not a shortstop. The Astros just called up a kid from third base, and he's not a power hitter, but he's a hitter for average. I can't remember his name to save my life right now. But they just called him up and sent somebody down because they're looking for a spark. You know, I don't know why Houston is tailing off this year. Someone tried to give me McHugh. I'm not going to mention no names, Jerry. But tried to tell me that what I was seeing was wrong. Nah, what I was seeing was absolutely right. Not worth the headache for what you wanted.
What are you talking about?
But when you try to trade me, not Dallas Kuchel. Was it Kuchel you tried to send me? I think you tried to send me Kuchel or McHugh.
McHugh.
Yeah, McHugh. I knew it was one of them that you tried to send me. I was like, nah, that's not going to happen. Dude can't put together. Apparently, Houston's rotation just fizzled out because they can't find a way to put together a back-to-back-to-back-to-back pitching rotation that's pretty good this year. Last year, they were very good. That's why they made the playoffs. But this year, not worth it, in my opinion. They're not – the bats are okay, but they need the pitching to replicate what it did last year. And I don't think it's going to happen because people have caught up to them. But we shall see. We got about, 15 minutes left to lie there before we get out of here. Any surprises in our fantasy league or in baseball that you want to talk about?
What do you mean as surprises? As in what?
Teams, players, moves. I can say what I'm surprised about. I'm surprised coming off of a slow start fantasy-wise. I'm second in home runs in our little challenge. I'm first by only like one or two stolen bases. And I'm last in K's, but that's going to change. But is that
– go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say Dirty Water has over 507 strikeouts, and we're only two months into the season. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's going to be hard to catch that guy. The next closest person is 387. I think that's you.
That's me, 390-something, I think it is. Whatever it is, 380-something, whatever it is. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a long season, and you just have to be patient. He got off to a good start, and nothing to say that he can't be caught. He may not be caught, but We'll have to wait and see. You know, I think I have a way to accumulate strikeouts, but it is what it is. It's just the fact is that he had a couple of extremely good weeks early on, and he's got a nice lead. But you got 15 more weeks. I think it's a 22-week season. You got 15 more weeks, so we'll see what happens.
Give me your thoughts on these side challenges, because I'm definitely going to implement them in football, but I just want to get your feeling on them. I know the price might be a little too high for some, and I'm really considering lowering it for football, but what are your thoughts on these side challenges?
It's just another spark that, you know, somebody who's competitive, could want to get into. All depends on what the side challenges are. The ones you have, home runs, strikeouts, stolen bases, I think that's only three, is good. Depends on what you do in football.
Football.
What category that you have. There's different ways that you can go depending on what you want to do. So, what were you thinking about?
I was thinking about total touchdowns. So, all the touchdowns your offense scores, not counting defense, just your offensive players. And kickers would count in that too. So, if your kicker scores some version of a touchdown, then I would count that too.
Whoa. You talking about total points that your offense scores?
Not total points. Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. So you can go total points. But we have many ways to get total points, though, with fractional point scoring. I'm talking about
touchdowns.
I'm talking about total touchdowns by your offense.
Okay.
So, you know, I was thinking about that. I was also thinking about or total tackles or individual tackles and interceptions or, you know, sacks and all that. I was going to break it down in different categories, but not so many that it's going to be like a whole new game, because then that becomes roto. I don't want a roto style of football or baseball, but because, you know, if you win a category in roto, you win that category, so on and so forth.
This is going to be a weekly thing, or is it going to be a season?
No. It's going to be a season, just like baseball is, with weekly updates.
Oh, yeah, okay. Then you can have total touchdowns by wide receivers.
Yeah, or total touchdowns, period.
Well, that's a lot of work trying to keep. Either way, it's going to be a lot of work trying to keep up with all that. And if you've got 12, 14 teams, that's a lot of to figure out who got all these touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, now that I got my managers, I don't have to worry about, you know.
You ain't got to throw something like that in your face. It's just because it's going to take time.
Well, meaning the time I was dedicating to completing my master's, I now have that free so I can, you know, reallocate.
Oh, well, speaking of that, then you should be able to update the weekly stats in fantasy baseball on a timely basis.
Hey, I will do that. I will do that. Don't worry about that. Linda, listen. All right, so we got that going on. I just want to get your thoughts on it. If you like the program, if it's something you think that we should carry over in the football. Okay.
You can pick and choose. You can pick and choose.
Yeah, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that. But I want to say that next weekend, next Saturday, I don't know if Jerry's going to be doing a show or not, but I will be out of the country. So I definitely will not be hosting next week. And then in June, I would like to begin our fantasy football previews, or do you want to wait till like mid-June?
Let me think here. June probably would be too. Well, mid-June, how many conferences are there?
Eight.
How many divisions are there? Eight altogether?
Yeah, eight divisions altogether.
So that'd be 8 weeks.
So, you know, we go – and August is normally our individual rankings. So
mm-hmm.
June, July are the teams, and then August ends up being our individual rankings. But that's up to you. Just let, and then the live
draft. Yeah, we can do that. We can. That would make sense because that would leave up – that would go to the divisions, and then once the divisions, then we go to individuals, which would lead into the fantasy drafts. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
So
June,
when I come
July,
back in June,
August, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. When I come back in June, we'll start breaking it down. And the first division we're going to break down, ladies and gentlemen, is the AFC South. So I know Jerry's going to have a lot to say about it and how he thinks his team is going to win it and all that, but we'll discuss that.
Oh yeah, man! I'm pumped. I got some. Trust me. There's so many sleepers out there. There's so many players, just not on my team, but in the AFC South, and in just it all over the place. I'm pumped. I am so pumped. There's so much talent out there. It's ridiculous. It's going to be ridiculous this year. Trust me. Ridiculous.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We shall see. With that being said, JT, what do you got?
I'm claiming some titles, and we'll be talking about the titles on the master plan.
Like
you like that segment, right? At 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're talking about the playoff game that's taking place today, the one that's going to take place tomorrow, how I see it. I called it last week when Miami Heat was favored. I said I like the Toronto Raptors in that game. They won going away easy against Toronto. Different story against Cleveland. I'll be talking about that on the master plan. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday morning, all the time. And, yes, I will be doing the FSP show next week. I'll be doing three shows. The FSP crew show on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The FSP show, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday. And, of course, the master plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Memorial Sunday.
All right. JT, that's why he's my dude, man. I give him a hard time, but he's somebody I can count on and trust. And, you know, he's a little up there in age. See now, can't remember his fantasy football name. But he knows what it is.
What? Who are you?
Whatever, dude.
Never humble, always talking, man. Never humble, always
exactly.
Talking. Always talking.
Well, it's okay, big head. It's going to get deflated. I won multiple championships last year that you know about. Let's see if you can do the same. We'll see.
I'm gonna be Khaleesi this season. Khaleesi coming out of the fire with no one left.
Oh my goodness!
Coming out of the fire with no one left.
Did you hear how this season's supposed to be? Like her and John are supposed to hook up, and like her, John, and Tyron are supposed to be like brothers and sisters. So
okay.
I mean that's what I'm hearing. I followed Dinkle, and he's funny, man.
He's
funny.
A funny guy. He's a funny
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
Jersey guy. He's from Jersey, too. He's born and raised in Jersey, man.
Oh, I thought he was British for some reason.
Nope. Born and raised in Jersey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Him and I keep calling him Ian, but his name's not Ian. Jesus. Jon Snow's real name. I can't remember his real name.
But, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, those dudes are cool. They put up some great memes and stuff. They're hilarious. But anyway, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. My plan is to make sure that we take care of business, and we all are in a winning circle. So hopefully Body by Vi can help us all get there, as well as some other opportunities that I'm looking at. I know I've been talking it for a while, but I haven't stopped. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm going to leave it at that. JT, a pleasure as usual.
Same here.
I'm always glad to have you on air with me, mainly because I can stick you to your face instead of just recording it.
God.
Oh, real quick, before we go, who do you have in the Preakness?
I think the favorite's going to win it, man. The way he won the Derby, I think he wins it. Usually the horse that wins the Derby in the way he won it is usually almost a lock to win it in the Preakness, and I like him. So these two horses, Nyquist and Exaggerator, have met, I think, four or five times, and the outcome has been Nyquist 1, Exaggerator 2. So I think that's probably what the exact is going to be. There could be some sleepers in there, but I like Nyquist to be on top.
Okay, because they're talking about this cat's going to – Nyquist is going to get the Triple Crown.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, they're saying after 30
I don't know about
wins,
that.
It's supposed to be back to back.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. It took 30 years for the next one to come around. I don't think it's going to be back to back. I don't think Nyquist is quite on the same. Even though he ran a quicker Derby than the American Pharoah of last year, it takes a lot for a horse to run a mile and a quarter, a mile and 3/16, which the Preakness is in today, and then come back 2 weeks later in Belmont and run a mile and a half. It takes special kind of horses and a special kind of luck. And depending how the horse who wins this race, if it's Nyquist, comes out of it, you see what type of chance he has of winning the Belmont. But the Belmont is a mile and a half, which is a long way for a three-year-old to go.
All right. We'll see. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets. That's going to end the show for myself and for JT. We appreciate you. We'll see you back next. Well, JT, I'll see you back next week. I'll see you in two. And hopefully we'll have Deborah King on to discuss her current endeavor. Love you, Jay. I'll talk to you.
Have a good time, man. Have a good time.
We are. We will. Thank you, brother. We are out.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.